In this episode, Mrs. Dreds and myself thought that it'd probably be appropriate if we throw out a little listener advisory. This is probably one of the most disturbing episodes that Night of the Living Dreds has done. And the reason that we want to give a little warning to anyone listening, some people can be a little sensitive to some of the subject matters that we're going to be talking about, which include extreme child abuse, sexual abuse, extreme violence, torture, and it's could be a hard listen for some of you listeners. So just a fair warning, if you are going to stick around, welcome. Let's get this party started.
Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Here we go. Microphone's fired up. Are you ready? Are you Mrs. Dreds? You look pretty fired up over
there. Yeah, I'm ready.
You were kind of yawning a little bit. You tired?
A little bit.
You had the day off, though. You figured you'd be nice and rested and ready to put this podcast out a little late. Yeah, normally we do it on Wednesdays. It is now a Thursday, and hopefully you'll be listening to it on Thursday. But yeah, it was a little late because, we had a pretty filled up weekend, did we not?
Yes, we did.
We had as a lot of you guys know, because I was posting pictures and, I think I'm speaking for Mrs. Dreds when I say thank you for all the kind words concerning the newest addition to our family.
Yep.
Mr. Zane Shelton, that's right, our little grandson, born Friday. He's doing great.
Yep.
Our daughter is doing great. Everything is pretty awesome. And so, and then, you know, then we had a, one of my cousins, passing through the state and stayed a day or so with us. So it's been kind of a crazy weekend, beginning of the week. But, boy, are we going to end this fucking week off a bang.
Mm-hmm.
As mentioned... Right before the intro there, as I mentioned, a little listener advisory. There's going to be a lot of things that could make, some people, not be able to handle it very well. A lot of really sensitive things, I think, especially when, it comes to a parent.
Right.
Because we're going to jump kind of right into it. I do want to say that, you can listen to, obviously this podcast as well as all of our other ones over there at nightoflivingdreads.com. Also on our Facebook page, you can catch all of the podcasts on Stitcher, on, what's the other one?
Spotify,
that's right. I don't know why that slipped my mind. Spotify and Stitcher, of course, nightoflivingdreads.com. And if you're over there in what we like to call the insane asylum, over there on Facebook, Night Living Dreads is a page and a group. We love to have you over there on the group. That's more the interactive thing, of course. And but you're more than welcome to jump over there and follow the page as well. That's where you'll find a lot of the podcasts. So, and speaking of the group, we have a new moderator helping us out in the back end, keeping the group up and going, keeping it entertaining and drama fucking free, which it has been that way so far. So I'm really happy about that. But Miss Amy Lynn Russell, we've mentioned her before because she's come up with some pretty good strange articles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very happy to have her, helping us and joining our team there in the back end, keeping everything, running, I guess.
Yep, in order.
In order. And then you listen to a podcast like this that is based on chaos. Anyway, so let's I want to jump right into this because, and this is really just something that we came up with. You actually came across it, this Sylvia, is it Likens?
Mm-hmm.
Likens or Likens? L-I-K-E-N-S.
Likens.
The story of Sylvia Likens, and how'd you come up with this? I had never heard of this story. This is not what you call a serial killer. This is more of a true crime.
Right.
Just a horrible, horrible story. How'd you come up with this one?
I was just researching stuff on Google.
What would you,
horrific true crime stories.
Okay. Yeah, because
I brought this one up.
Oh, this one is truly horrific. A little, introduction here. It was the murder of a child. Happened right in Indianapolis. That's what, about an hour and a half from where we sit right now. And the weird thing is for a short time we were renting a house out in Indianapolis, right outside the city. And this where all of this this crime, this murder and torture took place was on a street called, I think, was it New York Avenue?
There's
something like that.
Yeah, it was New York Avenue.
Yeah, and I remember the house that we rented. We were just talking about this. There was a lot of street names that were named after states. And I remember that. So we could have been, honestly, pretty damn close to where all this happened. And what happened? And shut up, Otis. What happened?
Right.
Sylvia was 16 years old.
Right.
She was pretty much held captive and subjected to a lot of horrible, extreme torture, violence, child abuse, sexual abuse Wiki, I know you can't really trust Wiki all that much, but I've done a lot of other research, and most of what I've read here on Wiki, it tends to be, pretty right on.
Right.
But Wiki says almost 3 months. You read some other sources, in fact, in your notes that it was like closer to 5 months.
Well, no, I was mistaken.
Oh, okay, you had the wrong month. That's right, because we figured it out, and it was probably about
just a little over 3 months.
Yeah, about 3.5 months, because she she couldn't take no more, and she died on the 26th of October, and all of this abuse started. What was it? Right around July 10th, I think.
July 10th, yeah. I mean, you gotta get a little backstory of how it all came about.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to get to now. How did she end up in a place where for 3 months, plus, she was tortured, sexually abused? I mean, just abuse all just every day.
Right.
And how did she get to that? Do you want to give us a brief introduction on how she got to that? Where the fuck were the parents?
Sylvia was born to Lester and Elizabeth Likens. They were carnies. She was one of five kids. She had, she had two set of older fraternal twins, mm-hmm. and then her, and then two younger fraternal twins, with the younger ones was Jenny, and she had had polio when she was little.
But it just really affected her one leg.
Yeah,
right?
They said she had a limp and that she had to wear a brace, but other than that, she was fine. But their mom and dad didn't think that it was a good idea to take them on the road with them.
Because they took the boys to help, make their money, sell their beer and candy.
Right, so they would stay with family members and stuff. Well, Sylvia's mom and dad ended up splitting up, and Sylvia and Jenny were living with their mom. Well, then their mom got arrested for shoplifting.
Mm-hmm.
So Lester had to come back and deal with the girls, but he still didn't want to take them out.
Right.
So a lady who, a mutual friend of this lady, Gertrude.
Banaszewski?
Yeah.
I think that's how you say that.
Gave them kind of like a referral for her.
Right. Because she had like seven kids of her own. So I guess they figured, well, she's taking care of seven kids and everything seems to be okay there. They're going to school. They don't seem to be any problems. You know, it would be a good place for Sylvia and her sister Jenny to take and what be you know, watched over and babysat, right. I guess. While what was her
like
dad,
board
mom?
Like they were she was boarding them.
Boarding them, right.
So he would the dad was paying Gertrude $20 a week for the girls to stay there.
And Gertrude wasn't a, you know, I mean, they didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
They were really struggling. In fact, I think he said that Gertrude, you know, she was a chain smoking, you know, just.
Called her a hag.
They called her a haggard. Yeah. But, you know, she suffered from depression. And, you know, a lot of it was.
Asthma.
You know, a lot of it was, you know, the depression came from, I think, well, the fact that Gertrude didn't have a very good, you know, journey up to that point.
Right.
She had a total. She was pregnant a total of 13 times. Seven
right.
of them are the ones that, you know, we just mentioned. And then you have six more that you know, was a miscarriages. So that bothered her. You know, the I guess the fact that, you know, past lovers or husbands or whatever. I mean, just life in general.
Yeah, because she was married to the one guy. He was a cop. Jim. No, John, because that's who John Jr. was
right,
after.
Right, John, yeah.
He was a cop. And then they were married for 10 years, got divorced. She got married again. It only lasted a couple years. And then her and John got back together. But they said that every guy she was with was abusive or...
Yeah, so she didn't have a whole lot of... she didn't have a whole lot of luck.
Right.
When it came to the, you know, the boyfriend department. So... Anyway, so let's get back to where we were, and where we were was now all of a sudden. Okay, now it seems to be that it was Lester and Elizabeth, Sylvia's mom and dad, obviously. They were going on the road,
right?
I think they were going to the East Coast out.
They were
east,
just doing the United States.
It was like carnivals. A carny tour,
right?
And so. As you mentioned, a mutual friend of Gertrude and Lester and Elizabeth, you know, suggested, "Hey, look, you know, I know this, you know, this lady Gertrude, and you know, I think that, you know, she would be a good fit. There's, you know, some
right.
girls, you know,
plus
the kids
Sylvia are, and Jenny had become friends,
right, right, and
with
from
them
school,
church.
And, oh, church, that's what it was. Yeah, they went to the same church, so." It was kind of a good fit. So, you know, I think Sylvia knew more about the girls and some of the kids than Lester did.
Right.
But I guess Lester, because he was kind of the main one that was dealing with all of this,
right.
You know, as far as, you know, offering, well, I'll pay you $20 a week. I'll send you $20 a week. And, you know, if you can watch over them. And it was only supposed to be for, what, 2 months?
3 months.
3 months. And... It just seemed like a good idea. So, long story short, too late. It was, you know, they start boarding
right.
with Gertrude and her kids. Now, have we mentioned the kids yet? Gertrude's kids.
No.
We haven't gone through this. So, and I don't even know if I have a list. All I can tell you was, you know, Gertrude... her oldest daughter, Paula,
mm-hmm.
her son, John Jr., the one that you had mentioned.
Stephanie.
There was Stephanie.
Maria.
There was Maria.
There was another junior, Dennis Jr.
Yes, there was a Dennis.
And I don't remember what the last one's name was.
Yeah, so the main ones, though, were Paula and John when it came down to, you know, what.
I mean, Stephanie played a big role in it, too.
Stephanie played a role in it, too. So, anyway, they move in, and they say that, you know, for the first, you know, couple weeks or whatever, everything was pretty good.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're just going to school, having a good old time, blah, blah, blah. After that, you know, 1 week, all of a sudden, on the day that this $20 check, or $20 was supposed to, you know, arrive, it did not.
Right.
Now, this infuriated Gertrude.
Mm-hmm.
in a way that you'd be like, damn, bitch, calm down.
No shit.
You know, just be patient. It's 20 bucks. I know. Well, I know. Yeah, I know
back
shit's
then, 20
bad.
Bucks was a
yeah, right, because we're talking 1965.
When rent was $55.
Right. $55. That's what she paid in rent. Yep. And she was kind of banking a little bit because, you know, she's getting almost double. He's yeah. making double a month off, you know, just watching these girls, making about 80 bucks, you know, a month.
Right.
So, but she doesn't think that way. She gets absolutely irate.
Right.
She goes and tells the girls, you know, what was it exactly she said? Now I watched you, you know, two bitches, you know,
yeah, for a week
for nothing.
Yep.
I mean, she just went off the fucking hook.
And then hit the shit out of him.
And then, yeah, they both were made to bend over. Yeah. One of the weapons of choice, I think we can clearly call even a paddle. Some of us may have got spanked with a belt. You know, Sylvia knows all about the belt, too.
Right.
But when it comes to this case, they were weapons in my eyes.
Yeah.
Okay? These, when I got a belt, it was a, I guess, a... fucking a tool of you know of discipline. It was a disciplinary tool. So yes, they both were made to bend over, pull their panties down, bare ass, and get fucking whacked with this wooden paddle.
Right.
And it kind of started from there, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
that,
because
that was the beginning
day,
of the end.
Yeah,
because
the next day the money order came.
Yeah.
It was just running a day late in the mail.
Exactly. If she would have just fucking waited. But now it didn't fucking matter.
Right. She had already got a taste for what the hell she was doing.
Exactly. And it was like everything just took a really, really bad turn.
Yep.
To the point where it wasn't just one person. You know, committing these you know horrible violent acts upon Sylvia, it was some of the main
the neighborhood.
Ones, huh?
It was yeah, like the neighborhood.
It was a neighborhood fucking thing.
Yep,
you had neighborhood kids to the point where some of the Banaszewski. I hope I'm saying that right. So those kids, meaning like Paula and John and probably Stephanie and, you know, some of the others, offering, you know, paying, making, you know, putting it out there. Hey, you want to come see this girl? You want to go kick this girl in the face? She's laying down in her basement because that's where she initially, inevitably ended up. And that was right after. You know, she didn't get the check, right? She was she taken down to the basement?
No, not right
then?
Away.
Okay.
But then remember, because then it came about that, see, there's two different stories. There's a story saying that Paula came to her and told her mom that Sylvia was talking shit about her.
At school.
But then there's another source that says that Gertrude had told Paula that she got wind that Sylvia was talking shit about her, calling her a whore.
Right.
Everything else, and that's what made the initial first fight with Paula break out.
Right.
Was all this, and then it just escalated, and then it got to the point where she said that Gertrude says Sylvia was the whore, and that
right.
she was the one who was out defiling herself with males and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then she said that she couldn't sleep in the proximity of her children, so that's when she put her in the basement.
That's when they went. And both of them, her and Jenny, both went down there, right?
Right, at first.
At first. Because Paula ended up pregnant, right?
Yeah.
And
by a married man.
Yeah, by a married man. And all of a sudden, it was like everything that pissed Gertrude off,
yeah.
these girls, meaning Jenny and Sylvia, they felt it.
Right.
You know, everything, it was all taken out on them.
Right. Jenny, not as much as Sylvia.
No.
Jenny got to stay upstairs. Well, she was downstairs for a couple of days. They kept her down there, but then they brought her back upstairs, and they let her stay upstairs.
Uh-huh.
She would have to sneak down to see her sister in the basement.
And I didn't understand that. How did that come about? I mean, was she just, I guess, more compliant
yeah.
and whatever? I mean, not that Sylvia was, You know,
but they constantly wanted Sylvia to apologize and stuff for stuff that she hadn't done.
Right.
Stuff that
they accused
she had
her,
no clue what they were talking
her of
about.
Stealing candy when actually she was just collecting, you know, bottles and recycling them and going to the store. No, she come up, well, where'd you get the candy? You stole it. And then she'd get beat.
Yeah.
And called a liar. And I just don't understand why, because through this whole case, it was like, why Sylvia? You know, why did they zero in on her?
Because in anything you see about it, they talk about how pretty of a girl she was and stuff.
So you think,
I think it was a jealousy thing almost.
What, between Paula?
I think between Paula and her and between Gertrude and her.
Huh.
Because you depict it. Because there are a couple movies that are based upon the story. Mm-hmm. And one is...
An American Crime.
An American Crime, which in that is... It shows a part where at this picnic like thing, and Gertrude's boyfriend or whatever he is walks past Sylvia and gives her a warning, talks to her for a minute. Well, then it shows Gertrude blowing it all out of proportion that she was flirting with him. And
right, right.
So I think it was more of a jealousy thing going on there that
makes
just
sense.
Fueled it. Mm-hmm. I can't say that's the whole cause, but I think it fueled it. And
that makes sense. I just couldn't understand why. It always seemed to be, you know, Sylvia. In the beginning, Jenny, you know, felt a little bit of the wrath.
Right.
And then it steered away from Jenny to Sylvia.
Right.
And as I mentioned, you know, earlier this evening, that you don't need, in this story, you didn't need, you can't, that's why it was kind of hard. Like, how am I going to present this story? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times you can say, well, you know, there's a cause and effect. And right. Sometimes there was, okay, the, you know, the money not coming, the lies, okay, even though it was very, you know, wrong,
mm-hmm.
that the lies were the reason to go and beat on Sylvia. So at a certain point,
mm-hmm.
it didn't even take anything to happen.
Right.
Because it was just like, you know, the neighborhood kids, as you mentioned, it wasn't just... You know, the Banaszewski kids, it was the neighborhood kids. They were mm-hmm. like 10 fucking kids that would regularly go down to the basement. One kid, we have Coy Hubbard and Richard Hobbs. Those were the two main ones that were finally convicted.
Right.
Along with Paula and John Jr. and, of course, Gertrude. Coy was dating Stephanie.
Right.
That was Stephanie's boyfriend. Richard Hobbs was just a guy who lived, I think, a house or two down from him.
Yeah. And then one of them, I think it was Paula, or one of them went and told Stephanie that Sylvia was talking shit about her and stuff, her and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So that brought about Coy going down there and, I mean, practicing.
Yeah.
Judo. Judo moves on her. And
right.
Slamming
her
on the floor and...
Flipping her around, and I mean, just going out and punching her. And speaking of punching, at one occasion, Paula, the oldest sister, mind you, hits Sylvia so hard she breaks her wrist.
Yep. Literally, and then brags about it.
And then goes to church the next day and brags about it.
At a picnic.
And that picnic, that's funny you mentioned, because I was just getting ready to bring that up, because you had briefly mentioned that. This picnic, there's a woman there named Phyllis.
Yeah.
And this is one that, and we've listened to some, other podcasts, and, you know, because sometimes other podcasts do a hell of a lot more research than we do. We just rely on our personality and wit. that's why we fucking fail. No. Phyllis is not one that is liked very much. And why don't you tell us why Phyllis, and everybody thinks Phyllis is a cunt.
Well, when Phyllis first met Gertrude, she liked her. I mean, and she thought that she would
be... She had kids, too,
right? She had two kids, and she thought it would be a good match for Gertrude to watch her kids, too, babysit and stuff, and it would help both of them out.
Sure.
Because it'd give Gertrude money, and mm-hmm. plus it'd help her out. So they go to this... church picnic, big picnic thing.
It was kind of like a little community thing, because there was a lot of neighbors and shit there, right?
And as they're sitting in there talking, this Phyllis lady comes about saying that at this picnic, this was after during the trial, she came out and said that during this picnic that you could tell that Sylvia would just walk around. She looked like a zombie. Right. She had a black eye. Her eye was swollen shut.
Her lip was all swollen. Yeah,
her lip was all messed up and everything. And Paul was going around bragging that she had been the one to do this.
Yeah.
And stuff.
And then proceeded to hit her or something right in front of everybody, right?
Yeah. No, she didn't hit her. Stephanie hit her.
Stephanie, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, Stephanie walks right up to her for no reason at all and hits her. And then Paula gets scalding hot water.
Throws it on her
at this picnic.
And Phyllis sees all this.
Yeah, and still thinks it's perfectly okay that she watches her kids and doesn't say anything about any of it and stuff.
That says a whole lot about, you know, fucking Phyllis.
Right. Well, I mean, it's that you think about all the stuff with all the parents and stuff in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You have these kids going home, like, look, this is what's going on. And the parents are like, oh, that's just them punishing her. Or it was never made about that. That was a big thing because nobody ever called the police.
Right.
Nobody. Nobody ever got it investigated.
I think the cops were called at least one time, I think, out of, you know. But
you remember what that was for, though, right? That was because Gertrude's kids were being accused of stealing stuff off of a friend of theirs.
Right.
And that's what got the cops called out there the first time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, not because of what was going on in the basement.
Right.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You know, the cops only visited that house, you know, that time and one more time. At the end of this story, which we'll get to, obviously, which is amazing because all of these neighbors, and again, like you said, it was almost like kind of I picture just a bunch of neighbors all sitting around cooking out, the kids are playing together, blah blah blah, and like you said, Sylvia walking around all zombie like is how you know just and she got, you know, one fucking eye is so, you know, beat in, it's fucking swollen shut, her lips all fucked up. And all these parents see this. All these neighbors and adults see this and think, that's nothing wrong with that. And then they proceed.
Or they don't want to get involved.
They don't want to get involved. It's just like who's more, of a zombie and a mindless fucking drone? The parents or Sylvia? I think the parents are running a close fucking race. How could you possibly fucking ignore that?
Right. Well, you have the neighbors next door who heard her screaming and banging and stuff and just nothing. 3 o'clock in the morning, hear them doing this.
Right.
Nothing.
I did hear, one source says that the reason the parents didn't do anything is because they were literally scared of Gertrude. They were scared of what could happen to them or their kids.
Well, mind you, she was 100 pounds.
Yes.
5'6", 100 pounds.
She wasn't a big girl, Gertrude.
But, I mean, they did some heinous stuff to her, burning her with cigarettes.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the absolutely horrible torture that went on over that 3 month span. And again, that's why it's so hard. All we can do now is just sit here and just, you know, list off all of the things that we have heard in our research that they did to poor Sylvia. Mm-hmm. This is really a sad, heartbreaking fucking story.
Right.
It's just really, really fucking hard at some points. I don't care how much gore and horror you like. You know, a lot, you know, the movies, we all know that it's not real.
Right.
This was fucking real. You know, there's types of horror movies out there. It's called torture porn and things like that. But that's not real. This shit really fucking happened. And there's no, at this point in the story, as I mentioned, there's no, okay, well, she did this and then they did this to her.
No.
No. It was every single day. The kids would come down. Like I said, some of the Banaszewski kids would take and charge 5 cents to come down. You can come down, you can fucking kick her, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Coy was doing his fucking judo moves on her. It got to the point where Gertrude is always putting her cigarette, you know, out on her.
Right. Well, when she first got accused of stealing, that was how the whole cigarette burning thing.
She burnt her hand, right?
Because, yeah. trying to reprimand her for stealing.
Right. So I'm gonna put my fucking cigarette out on you.
And then it just came about that they were burning her all the time to the point that it was just for fun.
And then it, you know, I think the final count was there was literally over 100 cigarette yep. burns on her body.
Yep.
And they said, I think it, I'm guessing it was a coroner's report stated there was over 150
nearly 156 or something.
Injuries, you know, whether you know how severe, whether it be bruises, whether it be a cut.
She had nerve and muscle damage.
It's absolutely. All right. Here's an example of how bad it got. Now, I can't think of the word where, you know, you can't. What was it where you can't hold your
is it incognite? No, what was it? It's where you can't hold your.
You can't hold your bladder. So you know, let it. You know, you would pee. You know, your bed or whatever. Sylvia was not like that before she went there.
No.
How did she get that way? She was. It was from repeatedly
kicking
her in her vagina to the incontinent.
That and her stomach.
And her stomach.
It fucks up your bladder.
To the point where she could not hold her, you know, her piss.
She couldn't hold either one, really. She couldn't hold her urine or her bladder. I mean, her bladder or her...
Shit.
Shit.
Yeah. And here's where she really gets fucked. Because of the abuse, because of the repeating, you know, kicking her in her no-no spot and causing this to happen to where she pees the bed... Now she's getting beat for peeing the bed.
Yeah.
It is. Here's another fucking example. I'm sure this didn't help.
Well, with the whole
wetting the bed thing,
the whole wetting the bed thing, they would do shit like they would lock her, and even if they would let her upstairs in the bedrooms to sleep in a bed, they would handcuff her to the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like she could get away and to go to the bathroom.
Right.
And they wouldn't let her go to go to the bathroom. They'd keep her locked up there and then reprimand her for.
And I heard sometimes they would even give her a bunch of water, which was a no-no to from Gertrude because that's, you know, kind of, you know, she wasn't allowed that because of the whole bedwetting. So she wasn't getting fluids.
Right.
But sometimes they would give her water so she would piss the bed so they could go back and beat her. It is absolutely. I don't know how to describe these fucking kids, and I mean kids that just neighborhood kids,
right?
The kids I, you know, when I was growing up, neighborhood kids, we'd play baseball,
right?
We you know play games, we'd do kid shit,
right?
This is not kid shit when you have, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old going over here and beating the shit out of a 16-year-old.
Right.
Who's held captive at this point. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, how did these girls not be able to get away? How could they have not been able to get away? Which is a good fucking question. I think
right.
I think it's one that could bring about good discussions. Some would say we watched a little bit of a video of a young journalist who covered this story when it happened back in 65. And his opinion is of that maybe Sylvia and Jenny were not really the fucking brightest.
Well, they didn't say anything about Sylvia not being the brightest. We say Jenny, because you think about it with Sylvia, it... Well, yeah, because she had been getting shit done to her. But they also talk about it, the fact of being like, it's 1965. You didn't go against what adults
true.
Say.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know, you don't, I mean, you respect them. And
sure.
Regardless of the bullshit, retarded stuff they're doing.
It was like, you know, all the parents stuck together. I mean, there was a point where, was it Jenny that said something to their other, they have another sister?
Yeah, she called her.
And, you know, told her what was going on. And I don't know if her sister thought she was exaggerating or blowing it out of proportion, but it basically came down to, oh, you're just mad because, you know, you've been,
reprimanded.
You've been disciplined and you don't like the fact that you've been disciplined. It's not as bad as that. And man, how shitty can that fucking sister feel right now? You know, I don't know if she's still alive. What's her name? Patricia?
No.
I can't remember her name.
Donna.
Diane?
Yeah, Diana.
Diana. And I wonder how shitty she must fucking feel.
Try us feel like an asshole.
I would certainly
a
hope
a lot of them
so.
Do. A lot of them have to. The neighbor who didn't say anything.
Oh, the whole fucking neighborhood.
All the parents who never said anything.
Yeah. And then it comes out, boom. You know,
she was getting the shit beat out of her.
That she was getting, you know, fucking tortured. And the signs were all there. The fucking cookout. Her sister was told. You know, there was an attempt to reach out. Jenny, as we mentioned, you know, was more of the compliant one. She wasn't going to try to fucking leave because she was scared to death of the kids and especially of Gertrude.
Yeah, because they told her that if she tried anything that she would have the same fate as her sister.
Right.
That she'd have to go through the same shit as her sister.
And and God knows you definitely didn't want that. And of course, Sylvia couldn't really do fucking much. She couldn't do anything. She was beat so bad she could barely get to the fucking, you know, steps to go upstairs. She's been thrown down these fucking steps.
Yeah.
She had her head at one point by Gertrude. I think she was
stomping her.
Hit in the face with a fucking curtain rod.
Yep.
Right in the fucking mouth. And then she falls down and her head is Gertrude starts stomping
on her head.
On her fucking head.
I mean, she did make her go upstairs and have her way with a Coke bottle.
Yes.
In front of all the kids.
There was an incident, and again, a lot of these things don't seem to have been fucking provoked. It was just like, oh, what can we do here?
Yep.
You know, oh, look.
Anything to embarrass her.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
look.
That's what it was like. Anything to embarrass her.
Here's an empty Coke bottle. Okay, the old-time fucking Coke bottles from 1965.
Yeah, the glass.
They're like the long neck motherfuckers, you know? And there was a situation where, I guess for just shits and giggles, like you said, Mrs. Dredge, to embarrass the fuck out of her, she is taken up into the living room, butt-ass naked, in front of, I guess, a bunch of the neighborhood boys.
And her kids.
And as well as her kids. There was a crowd, nonetheless. And that might have been a 10-cent admission day. Who knows?
Right.
And she is made to stick this bottle up her vagina, I guess, and masturbate in front of everyone. And, of course, that... It is not going to help the already, you know, damage that had been done down there through the kicking, the stomping. I'm not
right.
sure which came first, but regardless, it wasn't a good combination. This is the type of shit that it's absolutely. I think there's been like a foundation or something that has started in her name regarding child abuse.
Right.
I'll have to look more into that, and if I find it, I will stick it in the description over there at nightoflivingdreads.com. Now, there is also we have just the random beatings by neighborhood kids, by you know Coy. Doing the, you know, judo honor. So you got, you can see the pictures of this poor girl.
Mm-hmm.
She looks nothing like, and she's a pretty girl. We're looking at a picture right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very pretty girl. They said she didn't smile. When she smiled, she didn't open her mouth because when she was a child, I guess something with her brother.
She ran into him.
She
collided.
Yes, they collided playing like kids fucking do, and it knocked a fucking tooth out. So when she smiled, she just didn't smile real big so you could see her teeth, but she's a pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the pictures of what she looked like when she was found, it doesn't even look like the same fucking person.
Mm-mm.
It really doesn't. I was looking at it and not just, you know, in awe because of the damage that's been done to her, but just like I'm trying to think, God, is that even the same fucking person?
Right.
I'm trying to figure, you know, I can't see it. It's so hard. That's how much damage they did to her.
I mean, they branded her.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what I was alluding to. They thought that it would be, and this is where Richard Hobbs, gets, you know, of course, I'm sure he had his times where he was, you know, punching and kicking and having his little
I'm
fun.
Sure.
He was like, Richard Hobbs was said to be like Gertrude's little sidekick.
Yeah.
Almost like there was kind of a sexual attraction thing going on there. I don't know if that's just, you know, how true that is.
Probably.
But it seems plausible to me. Gertrude, you know, one of them had grabbed, I don't know what kind of pin it was.
I'm assuming it's an ink pen at first because they said she wrote on there.
Well, that's what I thought too. But they used an actual pin, heated it up till it was red hot,
mm-hmm.
and began to write on her stomach. I mean, carving with a hot needle, carving through her stomach.
Yeah, Gertrude started it.
She showed Hobbs how to do it, and then
she put the I and the M.
She gave it to Hobbs, and he finished it. And when he was done, it said, "I'm a prostitute and proud of it."
Yep.
That was pretty much, I would say, almost. That's almost like a being branded, mm-hmm. you know.
This is going to scar and it's going to say that.
Exactly. And, you know, I think if something was said, I don't know if it was from Gertrude, that there, you know, now nobody's going to want you.
Right.
You know, because you're always going to have this on you. You know, nobody will ever want you, which makes me believe even more that maybe it was a jealous thing. That's why they did that.
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense. And then it said that. They were going to brand her with, you know, and put an S on her chest. That's what they said. Although when you look at the picture, it looks like a fucking three. A perfect three. But what? And it's funny because there were three people involved,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, maybe it was supposed to be a three, but they said it was supposed to be an S for, you know, slave or Sylvia or something like
right.
that. But when they started doing the S, they started out and did the curve the wrong way.
Right.
And it turned into a fucking three. So, whatever. I mean, that's pretty, you know, doesn't really matter.
Right.
The fact is that they fucking did it.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, there had been so much damage done to Sylvia's brain or her head. Her insides.
Mm-hmm.
She's at this point being starved. They said, "Oh well, you know, she wouldn't eat." And I have a clip, and I think it might be in the clip that I want to play and talk about. Probably, mm-hmm. you know, for the last, you know, 15 minutes or so, where Robert Hobbs said, "Yo, yeah, we tried to feed her. We give her some soup, but you know what they do? They give her scalding hot soup and tell her she had to eat her soup with her fingers."
Right.
She couldn't lift the bowl up or anything. She just had to do it with her fingers, like scoop it up with her fucking fingers.
If you remember when Gertrude brought her upstairs and gave her the donut and the milk, and she couldn't
even hold the fucking
glass.
Yeah,
she couldn't get the glass to her mouth. So she got in trouble for that.
Didn't she get hit with a broomstick at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that might have been the broomstick incident. Hit her in the fucking head, threw her back down the fucking steps.
But yeah. But then they had, it was social services who showed up, and Gertrude had told them, this was during all this going on. That she had ran away with a bunch of boys
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And then when she showed back up, it was, she showed back up, and these, it's
unbelievable. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And there's you know, of course, a lot of other podcasts that will get into the real nuts and bolts, you know, this story. This is not one of them. We like to give a good overview, but, you know, there's some points that, you know, we just, you know, have to fucking make. There was so much damage done to her that the last few days of her life, she just mumbled. She couldn't mm-hmm. put together a fucking word. She couldn't really move her limbs at all.
Well, they said that when the boys and stuff were down there, she'd say, "You're Richie." And
oh, okay.
"You're Coy," and stuff. Like, she knew who was down there and stuff. She just couldn't.
She couldn't do anything.
Her sister had came down there a couple of days before that's not down there. And she told her sister. She said, I'm going to die.
Yeah, she knew she was going to die.
She's like, they're going to kill me.
She knew her, you know, fucking fate. It's a really scary thing because, you know, like I said in the beginning, especially, you know, if you're a parent, you have kids and, you know, you have a babysitter and, you know, it's not a family member, you know, and you think, you think you fucking know someone. And we've all seen the nanny cams where, you know, you got nanny and they're just shaking the babies and beating the shit out of these little kids. That is enough to enrage the most docile person on the face of the planet. You know, that's enough to, you know, really get somebody fucking in prison, and rightfully so, because I would kill a motherfucker. You know, if that was the case, if that ever happened, you know, to our grandson, I would kill a motherfucker.
Right.
And I think a lot of parents, you know, so that is a very scary thing. There was one time where my mom and my stepdad, and I was probably about, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, and they went on a vacation that I did not go, and they were gone for like a week, and so I'm staying with this, you know, friends of the family, and they had a bunch of kids, you know, a bunch of brothers and sisters, and they didn't have some wicked, evil fucking cunt like, you know, Gertrude, but, you know, it was almost like that situation, but I had a good time. Sylvia, unfortunately, did not. Said she died from subdural hematoma. Shock and malnutrition. She is buried in Oak Hill Cemetery. When she was found, though, it was said, the coroner said that rigor mortis had at least set in
before the cops found her,
before she was even found by the cops, for 8 hours.
Yeah, because they said that she they had went down to get her to give her a bath.
Right.
And
Stephanie
when they went,
did, right?
Right. And when they went down there, she wasn't... No, Paula went down there to give her... to give her... Put her in the bath.
She wasn't breathing.
And she wasn't breathing. So, of course, they all run down there, and Gertrude's saying it's a lie because Stephanie goes into a crying fit. And
she's faking.
Trying to help her and stuff. And Gertrude's saying the whole time that Sylvia's faking it, and...
And it was Hobbs stuff. That initially...
Yes,
initially
Hobbs came in.
Called the cops.
Yep, ran downstairs. He went to run downstairs, slipped because the floor was wet, got to the bottom, and Stephanie was down there holding her and stuff. And he tried to perform CPR on her and stuff, said he tried for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And stuff. And then he ran out, and he called 911.
Well, cops, he called the cops. They didn't have 911.
Well, yeah, called the cops. Cop showed up a couple weeks before, so Gertrude had Sylvia write a note saying that, pretty much claiming everything that Gertrude said, that she had ran away with these boys and all this and all that.
And,
so it kind of took
How she looked that way was that she was out and it was like a big fucking orgy.
Yeah, and they all beat the hell out of her.
These guys came back to the house,
right, and beat the hell out of her.
Beat the shit out of her, and that's how she ended up that way.
Well, then Jenny, Sylvia's sister, came downstairs, and she said, they killed my sister. She said, take me out of here. She's like, and I'll tell you the whole story.
Yeah, well, she didn't say they killed my sister.
Okay.
Because she finally got a chance to, you know, say something to the fucking cops.
Because the cops were there, and she knew, because with her sister being dead, she knew that they would take her out of that house.
Yeah, and you know, right there instantly, the cops look and see the shape that Sylvia's in. And this little girl, like, please get me out of here, and I'll tell you everything. And that kind of, they immediately
arrested
Gertrude, Paula, and John, and of course Coy.
And they at first they did arrest Stephanie too.
They did get Stephanie, but they didn't charge her with anything.
Her charges got dropped.
Maria, the youngest girl,
right.
She ratted him out a little
at
bit.
At first she didn't. At first she went along with everything her mom had said. And then she was on the stand when she was getting cross-examined. And she said, please help me, Lord. And she said, and she just broke down and just told them that she had lied and everything, and told them exactly what happened, that what I mean, what her mom had done.
Right. All right. I would like to, real quick, to kind of end this. There's some bits of radio interviews, I think. You'll hear Richard Hobbs talking about what exactly he did, some of the things we were talking about, the carving with a hot needle on Gertrude. Yeah, I'd like to do that. On Sylvia. And, you know, hearing it right from the... right from the horse's mouth. So I want to play a little bit of this. May get to all of it. Not sure. We'll see how it goes. Let's check this out here.
The courtroom was packed. They didn't have enough room for the defendants on the police docket in the courtroom.
And this is, I think it's John Dean.
People from all over the city.
This guy was one of the, he was a journalist for one of the local papers.
Right.
And he, of course, like I said, covered, I think his name is John Dean, I believe.
The county building that worked there came to see the initial arraignment in the municipal court. And it was just, it wasn't mayhem, it was just crowded.
The defendants.
Well, the defendants, Gertrude Banaszewski is the one everybody focuses on. She was...
psycho?
She was haggard. You can see that she had once maybe been a pretty woman, but she wasn't by then, and she just looked exhausted. And of course, her defense was that she was exhausted while all this was happening, and she couldn't have supervised it.
You got to be
daughter,
kidding
Paula,
me!
Was,
this is like a woman,
just sort of a slob, and just sat there. And,
fucking
and
slob.
We never heard much from her. She didn't testify. Johnny Banaszewski.
They said he was or she was Paula was mean as a fucking snake. Yeah, you couldn't fucking trust her anyway. Here's, is this John?
Yeah.
He was sort of cute, a little pudgy. 12-year-old kid charged with murder. The others charged were Richard Hobbs and Coy Hubbard. Now, Ricky Hobbs, he's 15 at the time of the trial, 14 at the time of the murder. He looked like an ordinary teenage kid, and in most ways seemed to be. The fact was he carved a tattoo on this teenage girl's belly in the process of her death. The other defendant was Coy Hubbard. He was taller and bigger and looked mean. And he was later convicted of armed robbery after he served his sentence for the for manslaughter in the case of Sylvia Likens.
W-I-B-C. Skipping ahead a little bit here. I want to play, you know, this little bit kind of to take us out. That kind of gave us a little, you know, what we already talked about, a little... you know, again, introduction to the players here. Now, this again is Richard Hobbs in an interview about what he did and some of the things that happened to Sylvia.
Indianapolis.
Parole in a 20-year-old murder case. And this is WIBC News. May 1965, when 16-year-old Sylvia Likens was tortured to death by members of the Banaszewski family, with whom the child was staying while her parents worked with a traveling carnival.
Fucking carnies.
When the case broke, Paul Page was our anchorman, and the late Bob Hoover, our street reporter. The following is an excerpt from a 1965 newscast in which Bob Hoover spoke with Richard Hobb, who explained what he did to the girl.
All I did was write up that thing on her stomach, and then I hit her about 10 or 15 times.
How come?
Well, most because Gertie told me to.
Hoover, then...
Now, you listened to how, and it was mentioned in one of the other podcasts, you listened to how, you know, when he talks about what he did.
How nonchalant
he is. It is very. It's like, you know, saying that he, you know, took the fucking trash out or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just, it's eerie. I don't. It's a weird vibe to it to me.
Then spoke to one of the Banaszewski children, who told him how the victim was treated.
She refused food. We tried to get her soup every once in a while, and stuff like that, and she wouldn't take it.
Well, how about these scratch marks on her stomach? Who put them on her?
I did.
Why?
Well, Gertie just thought of it. She says since you branded us, we're going to brand you.
She just thought of it. It's like, oh, this would be a good fucking idea.
Right.
You know, like we were saying, there didn't have to be a reason that she got beat. It's just like, what can we do to this bitch today? Fucking evil.
So she itched in with a pin, and I went over it. She showed me how to do it, and then I went over it. I did it.
Did you ever use any hot irons on her?
No. Yeah, that three in her stomach, I did half of that. Mm. And Shirley Ann did the other half.
Where'd the S come from?
What do you mean?
There's a big S branded on her stomach, right below one of her breasts.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's what you're talking about. But how about the inscription on there, I'm a prostitute and proud of it. Who put that on?
I did.
Did you scratch it on there, paint it on there? How'd you do it?
Well, like I said before, Gertie wrote it down there with a pen, and I did the rest. Mm. She showed me how to do it then.
Had Gertie abused this girl?
Yeah.
Gertrude Banachevsky, however, had a different story.
Of course she is. Now, here's fucking Gertrude.
Never beat that girl. Never. She was beat up on by other girls. In fact, my own daughter stopped her in the jaw and broke her wrist. And so, I mean, there you go. And girls around the neighborhood beat her up, bloodied her nose. One girl broke her nose, in fact, I think.
Were you ever in contact with the police on any of these occasions?
Well, in the last 2 weeks, I think if you talk to my daughters, I asked them that. The children's father and I are divorced. And he's a policeman in Beach Grove, or was. And I've asked the girls repeatedly, called their dad, and asked them what to do. And in fact, I asked Jenny, I said, Jenny, and I told Sylvia, I said, Sylvia, I'm going to have to call the police or somebody because I can't have any responsibility.
But the police...
She can't handle her responsibility?
Right.
What does that mean? Like, she just can't handle babysitting her?
I have no clue.
I'm going to call the police because I just can't have you here anymore. You know, I just can't handle this responsibility right now. You know,
that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. So, I just have to give you to the fucking police.
Well, right.
That would have been a fucking, yes.
Heaven send there.
Yeah, please, dude, call the fucking police. Please.
Right.
Police were called only one time. And according to Hobb.
Well, she come up from the basement, and we noticed she's cold and everything, so we carried her upstairs, give her a warm bath and artificial respiration. When she stopped breathing, see, we gave her a warm bath, and then she stopped breathing. And so I gave her artificial respiration for about 10 minutes, and then I went and called the police.
By the time police found the girl, she had been dead some 8 to 12 hours.
8 to 12 fucking hours.
Yep.
That is fucking sad. It's unless I was to sit here and just, read verbatim the things that are maybe in like the police report, as far as all of the injuries and everything that's happened. I can't really express how fucking horrible this was.
Right.
It's hard to fathom just that you have young kids from around the neighborhood, anywhere from, early teens down to maybe, 10 fucking years old, could be 9 years old, that are just, just nonchalantly beating the hell out of a girl who's obviously been, beaten down so much, she can't fucking fight back.
Right.
You can do whatever you want to. She's like a fucking punching bag. I mean, who cares?
Yep.
And you'll pay to do that. You'll borrow 5 cents. Mom, can I have 5 cents? Well, we need 5 cents. Well, I'm going to go get some candy. No, you're just going down to,
the neighbor's house.
To the fucking Banachevsky's place. So you can beat this. You can pay 5 cents,
Beat the hell of a girl.
Right. It is absolutely just mind-boggling. There are, of course, as always, we don't take and, dive into detail. I like to have, conversation and, give you a fucking overview because it is kind of a pretty detailed fucking story. And I'll give links out. I'll put links, to videos, to, whatever I can find on this to help anybody out who wants to know more about what is, what went on in this case. So with that being said, Well, boy, I'm glad this one's over. It's just, I don't know, it's just sometimes, you know, hard to talk about. Right. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Coke bottles, you know, up in the vaginas and just, I mean, just kicking and torturing and fucking cigarette burns. I mean, it's just unbelievable what this girl fucking went through.
I mean, just to give an overview of what happened to these people. You have Gertrude, who she was sentenced to life in prison. She ended up getting out in 20 years due to good behavior. They say that she kind of lived as a recluse after she got out of prison.
She was paroled in 85, wasn't it?
Yeah. She lived as a recluse.
Changed her fucking name.
Yep. Ended up passing away due to a heart attack.
It was like 5 years after she got out,
after she got released.
It's 1990.
Paula served how many years did she serve? 3 years. She served 3 years, got out, changed her name, ended up moving to Iowa, having two kids, worked at a school, became a teacher's aide at a school. In 2007, they found out what she had done.
Because she had changed her name too.
Right, that's what I said.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah.
They ended up firing her for it, for not doing it. So then she ended up kind of like disappearing. And, Stephanie ended up, what did she do? She did change her name. She ended up becoming a school teacher.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She had like two or three kids. Seemed like she was doing okay.
Yeah. They said she had quite a few kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. She became a school teacher and stuff. Didn't have anything at all to do with her family. John changed his name to John Blake and became a minister. Coy ended up getting in trouble all throughout his life. Ended up dying of was it a heart attack too?
I think that might have been a heart attack because Richard Hobbs, he ended up, after this, he started, you know, they say he started fucking chain smoking, and he smoked so fucking much that by the time he was 21, he had cancer.
Yeah, died at 21.
I'm guessing lung cancer. So, yeah, he died of lung cancer. That's all it says. I'm assuming lung cancer at 21.
Yeah, Coy was 56 when he died, and it was of a heart attack.
Heart attack, yeah. Who else we got on that list?
Jenny ended up moving to Florida, becoming a vet and having three kids.
She seemed to be doing okay.
The day that the paper came out saying that Gertrude had died, she went to her father and even let her mother know. She's like, look, she was like, it's a good day.
Yeah.
Because of it. And then she ended up dying a week later of a heart attack.
Yeah, a week later of a heart attack after she finds out. Well, I guess she, you know, she probably got, you know, that was probably all she really fucking needed. Maybe that's what she was holding out waiting on. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the fact that she could be around when this bitch dies.
Right.
And she got that. And then unfortunately, she's going to have a heart attack a week fucking later.
Yep.
Go figure. We got anybody else on the fucking list?
Nope. I think that's it.
That's it. Again.
Oh, Maria.
Oh, Maria. Yeah, yeah. The youngest.
Let me see what I have on her. They didn't really give a whole lot of her because she kind of just fell off the grid. After.
Yeah, a lot of them did. I think because of all the horrible shit that, you know, that's why a lot of them changed their names. They didn't want to be associated with the fucking horrendous shit that went on in 1965 over that 3.5 month period. Absolutely fucking brutal.
Yeah, and they said that there was at least 10 children that were charged in the murder.
Then the neighborhood kids.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's absolutely, it's just terrible. Again, she's, Sylvia is buried in Oak Hill Cemetery in Lebanon, Indiana. That's not really that far from where we're at. She has a little monument, actually. I think it's about 6 foot tall. That, you know, is dedicated to her because she was obviously a minor. So that's, you know, that's how she falls into the, you know, child abuse type deal. 16 years old.
Yep.
Absolutely horrible. Again, I will put some links to different, you know, sources and different things you can watch and listen on in the description. So with that, hey man, you can get the hell out of here. God, what I'll have fucking nightmares about this shit. Mm-hmm. Fucking God. Horrible, horrible shit. I don't think I overhyped it.
Mm-mm.
In the group and everybody wondering what the fuck we were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Dreads.
You're welcome.
And thank you guys. Spread it far and wide. NightLivingDreads.com. NightLivingDreads on Facebook, Spotify, Stitcher. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.